Today, the Moderna CFO gets grilled by Rand Paul on the elephant in the room that is myocarditis. The squad defends TikTok during a hearing, and Joe Biden gives some kind of weird intimate information about he and Jill and their marriage. You're not going to want to miss that. We've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I was busy today, so I'm just going to get right on into it. Don't have a monologue for you today, but we are joined today by my good friend, Yaku Buyens, Blaze TV contributor and host of The Bottom Line. Also, Blaze media critic Rob Eno. Happy to have both of you here. And I feel like maybe half of you are like, oh, we wanted to hear Sarah talk more. And the other half were like, whew, good. We're tired of listening to that girl. So I want to get into this hearing with the Moderna CEO and this Senate committee. So Senator Rand Paul, who I think has been, I would say, one of the only people who has come out against Big Pharma and all of the COVID mandates as this was going on. I mean, strongly and consistently. I can't think of another senator who has done that. Can you?
No. And he's a medical doctor, so he kind of knows what he's talking about.
Right, right. So he confronted the Moderna CEO on Wednesday over the occurrences of myocarditis in young men who take the COVID-19 vaccine. Obviously, we have seen time and time again the public officials are downplaying the risk of young men 16 to 24 developing myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle after receiving the COVID vaccine. In fact, the doctor that we talked to yesterday on the program, he had his board certification stripped from him. And it was fascinating to watch the letter, to read the letter from the board, who admitted, subtly admitted, yes, myocarditis happens, but it's rare. And it's mild when it happens. So nothing to be concerned about. You know, I mean, even if it was rare, that's still someone's kid, but don't worry. Make sure to take your booster. So at a Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee hearing, Rand Paul really went hard in the paint here when it was his turn to question the CFO, the CEO, about this problem. I want to play for you some of that exchange. Watch.
Is there a higher interest or a higher incidence of myocarditis among adolescent males 16 to 24 after taking your vaccine?
So thank you for the question, Senator. First, let me say we care deeply about safety and we're working closely with the CDC and the FDA to
pretty much a yes or no. Is there a higher incidence of myocarditis among boys 16 to 24 after they take your vaccine?
Yes. The data I've seen from the CDC actually shown that there's less myocarditis for people who get the vaccine versus who get COVID infection.
You're saying that for ages 16 to 24 among males who take the COVID vaccine, their risk of myocarditis is less than people who get the disease.
That is my understanding.
That is not true. And I'd like to enter into the record 6 peer-reviewed papers from the Journal of Vaccine, the Annals of Medicine, that say the complete opposite of what you say. I also spoke with your president just last week, and he readily acknowledged in private that, yes, there is an increased risk of myocarditis. The fact that you can't say it in public is quite disturbing.
That guy just sounds like a supervillain.
I was going to say that. Why is it always the Germans that sound like supervillains? We know why.
He just sounds like a supervillain. So I want to get your thoughts on this, but I want to throw in a couple more clips here from this exchange because it was a really, really good one. And if you're on social media and you follow Rand Paul or, you know, you like emailing your senators, send him a thank you for this because no one else is doing it. By the way, this CEO admitted that his children have received, he says, 3 or 4 COVID vaccine jabs. I don't think he's being truthful there. He also disclosed a $400 million payment to the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases from Moderna as part of a deal between the government agency and Moderna for the mRNA technology and intellectual property rights. Watch.
I'm not a clinician. I will have to discuss.
You have children.
I do.
Have you vaccinated your children?
I have.
How many times?
3 or 4 times.
3 or 4 times. I recently paid NIH $400 million. Do you believe it creates a conflict of interest for the government employees who are making money now off of the vaccine to also be dictating the policy about how many times we have to take the vaccine?
Good morning, Senator. Indeed, we recently made, before Christmas last year, a $400 million payment to the NIH for an old patent that they had developed, not related to COVID, but useful in the development of a COVID vaccine to pay them for their work. It's for the U.S. government to assess how that money should
be used.
Do you
think it creates a conflict of interest for the same people deciding the policy of how often we have to take the vaccine to also be making money the more times we take the vaccine? Yes or no?
This is for the government to decide, Senator.
You have no opinion on whether or not it creates a conflict of interest.
I bet he doesn't have an opinion. This is something that I have been talking about for so many years. It makes me exhausted just thinking about it. The conflict of interest that we have within our United States government and the big pharmaceutical companies would blow your mind. Like, if you think that this just started with COVID, you're kidding yourself. This has been going on for a very long time. It is very well known. If you actually look at the history of big pharma companies and the United States government, the FDA and the CDC specifically, it is a revolving door where the CFO of a big pharmaceutical company either goes to a government position afterwards, a high-level government position in the CDC or FDA, or vice versa, the flip-flop, right? You are all of a sudden, you're the CDC director, and then all of a sudden, after you leave, you get lined up to be CFO of Merck. I mean, this has been happening for decades, for years, and nobody was talking about it. And finally, someone, I always said, the silver lining of COVID would be that big pharmaceutical would be exposed for what they were, that people would open their eyes and they would see it for what it was and they would go, holy crap, has this been happening the whole time? And I just never knew it because I trusted the experts. You guys told me, trust the experts. So I trusted them. This has been going on for so long. It would blow your mind, the conflict of interest that happens. The grant money that's given to, you know, an independent lab, independent scientist to test something when these independent scientists know what the result is supposed to be. Yes. And they're getting that money from the government and they know what they're supposed to show. And they twist and they manipulate the data until they are able to show what the intended result is. Trust none of this stuff.
Actually, Sarah, it's a little bit worse than that. It's,
oh, good.
If you're willing to produce this result, mm-hmm. we will fund you. So they go yes. through a series, they do a battery of tests of testing which lab is for sale, mm-hmm. which doctor is for sale, which senator, which president, which CEO is for sale. And then they base their funding based on who says, I'll dance. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Let's kill people. Let's do whatever. I'll produce that result for you. Yeah. We can produce. You want that outcome? Oh, no problem. That's how they decide the outcome. Then they pick the candidate mm-hmm. who says yes, and then they fund the candidate. That's the gain of function money to the lab. Anthony Fauci, this is how they do this. Mm-hmm. Dr. Bartlett was on my show last week. I really want him to come on this show. This is the doctor who started budesonide, the most canceled guy against Fauci. Bartlett said, Yaku, you know, my brother got myocarditis. You know, ICU 13, you know, days, fought for his life. Do you know what actually is happening that they've proven? Heart cells are dying. They're exploding. They're dying. And it releases a toxin into the blood. And the way that you track now how many actually got myocarditis is you detect the toxin in the blood. Mm. He's saying, Yaku, 1 in 3. It is astronomical, the numbers now. The risk for myocarditis for young men, this is why you're seeing 16, 18-year-olds drop on a basketball court. Soccer players particularly around the world because it's a higher level of cardio than football, right? Mm. So there's no question. That they and then he shared this with me. He said, Yaku, do you know that myocarditis was actually in their findings as a warning pre-release of the vaccine, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and they never told the people?
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it's all about the bottom dollar.
Right. And to your point on the intertwining of the pharmaceutical companies and the government, what a lot of people don't know is your tax dollars pay for pharmaceutical research mm-hmm. by places like the NIH and the CDC and the FDA. And it was, I believe, a 1980s law says that those investigators that get paid by you can make royalties off of the drugs that you paid and got the patent on because their names are on the patent as government employees. Mm-hmm. So that's what these royalty payments are for, and that's what Rand Paul was trying to say. It's why, you know, that Anthony Fauci is the highest paid government employee, because his royalty payments for the drugs that he was part of get put into that payment. And the beautiful part is it becomes part of their pension calculation.
Right.
So the royalty payments become part of their pension calculation, and then you pay for them until they die.
Right. You get to pay for the rest of their life.
It's absolutely insane. The intertwining between the government and pharmaceutical companies is bigger than you imagine. And I remember when, you remember that Glenn had the show on the biggest crime, and it was about COVID and all that stuff. And he brought out that we were paying Moderna these things. And the fact checkers said, no, that's not true. That's not happening. And now you have the Moderna CEO admitting that he had to pay for the royalties for the COVID vaccine.
Right.
Rob, sorry. In the M&A world, right, a commission is typically between 2.5% and 5%. Okay. So now take the $400 million royalty payment. That's an $8 billion number as a royalty payment. Typically between 2.5% and 5%. You're there, right? So this is the kind of money we're talking about. Mm-hmm. They will sell their own children. Yeah, he'll stab his children 15 times.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I don't think he did.
I don't believe that he did. But because think about, because you're talking about that they had the myocarditis risk. They saw it before they released it to the public.
You think it was just saline salt water?
Well, but that I don't think his kid. I mean, who knows?
Anything, just
didn't go right for his children. Okay. No one's watching his children. But I'm just saying, it wasn't just the myocarditis that they knew about beforehand. It was a pages and pages and pages worth of side effects that they knew about, which is why they're stonewalling and they don't want to release the, you know, what is it? They wanted 75 years or whatever it was to slow roll the release of all of these
documents. Yeah,
55.
Why would that be?
55 to, and then it came out and said 75 years.
Right. Yeah. Well, it takes a long time to produce the documents, and we don't have the manpower to produce them.
Right.
Sarah, to your point, also, that's most likely why he hesitated to ask how many times did I say.
What am I going to answer here that makes
sense? Probably zero, you're right.
Right.
And
the other thing is, now we're supposedly bailing, the Biden administration wants to bail out Moderna. We paid whatever price they wanted for all of the drugs that we helped develop that then they have to pay a royalty on. Mm-hmm. We paid for those to be developed, and we made, you know, they and Pfizer some of the most profitable companies, or should be, in the world, because we, you know, forced people to take it. Now the Biden administration, without a vote of Congress, is trying to bail out Moderna because Moderna is supposedly in financial.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's the incestuous relationship that is taking place here.
Big Pharma is the government.
It's so disgusting. And I talk about this a lot, so I feel like a lot of you guys have probably heard it, but it's worth repeating, I think, to me, is that 1986, go look it up, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. They, like, it's not just the, if you think the COVID vaccine is the only vaccine that indemnifies the maker, the pharmaceutical company, you're kidding yourself. Any vaccine that is on the childhood CDC recommended schedule is covered. All of those pharmaceutical companies are covered. They are immune from you suing them if it hurts your child, if it gives them long-term damage, if it kills your child. They're immune. You can't do anything. You have to go through a government court because they have decided that they wanted to give complete immunity to these pharmaceutical companies. By the way, also, fun fact for you, none of these vaccines are tested using an actual placebo. It's not saline. None of them, none of the safety studies are using a true placebo. It's always another vaccine. That's how it was with the COVID vaccine. That's how all of these other CDC recommended childhood vaccines are. Look it up.
Right.
This corruption has been going on for a very long time.
Every vaccine, there's no liability on Big Pharma. You can do nothing on them. And it doesn't go through the same FDA approval protocol as any other drug. Vaccines has its own, it actually, Sarah, has its own board.
Mm-hmm.
It has a different board within the FDA that only approves vaccines. It's a loop around, work around, do whatever you want, and there's no recourse.
And to add to Rob's point about your money, right? Your money is funding these studies. Your money is funding these investigators, the royalties in the pensions and all of that. Your money, your taxpayer money. Your taxpayer money is also what gets paid out in this government court when people go through it and say, my child died because of this vaccine. It's documented by their doctor. My child now is going to need long-term care for the rest of their life because the vaccine maimed them so much. They have to go through a government court, and then they get, of course, your money. More of your taxpayer money is paying for all of those settlements, just so we're clear. I mean, the corruption runs very deep. All right, let's go ahead, and when we come back, let's talk about this TikTok hearing, because this was kind of a big deal today in Congress as well. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Eden Pure. So Eden Pure has these thunderstorm air purifiers that the science behind it is crazy to me. They have these O3 molecules that actually go out. They don't just purify the air right where it is. It actually, the O3 molecules go out and seek viruses, odors, mold, mildew. It goes and seeks it out to destroy it. So if you, I don't know, maybe you cook a bunch of cruciferous vegetables in your kitchen. Maybe you have 10 million animals like I do at home, and you have a zoo. And with those animals come certain smells, especially when you have cats. I don't need to tell you if you have cats. You already know. You need this, okay? Because now my 10-year-old will walk into the utility room. He's the most dramatic child ever, and used to, he'd be like, Mom, I can't go in there. It stinks so bad. And now, nothing. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. You're going to get 3 units for under $200. Put them wherever you need them. I highly recommend one for the kitchen, one for the utility room, and perhaps one for your preteen child's bedroom. You can go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in discount code Sarah to save $200. That is EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Sarah. Hey, those of you who are watching this program on YouTube, make sure that you just give the like button a gentle tap, thumbs up, gentle tap, subscribe, gentle tap. We like gentle tappings here. And comment below for the algorithm, of course, because I mean, after what we just talked about, we're gonna need all the help we can get. All right. I want to switch over to these TikTok hearings here. Democratic and Republican lawmakers have been raising concerns for a while now. I mean, well, to be clear, first it was President Trump who said, I think that, we really should not be allowing this company who is owned by ByteDance, which is a Chinese technology company, has perhaps close ties to the CCP. So Donald Trump originally said, hey, guys, this is probably a problem because the CCP isn't our friend. And of course, the Democrats undid all of the, what he had done on that. They said, no, Donald Trump's crazy. That's silly. Our kids need that TikTok for their devices so they can indoctrinate their brains. And now all of a sudden, the Democrats even are like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have TikTok. I guess, well, we won't say Donald Trump was right about this, but he was right about this. So they're finally coming together and saying, perhaps we should pump the brakes on this TikTok thing because now the CCP can, access millions of Americans' data, very sensitive data, all their data. Perhaps that should be a concern. And No, you guys are crazy, because you'll hear from Jamal Bowman, a member of the squad, that he says, no, there are lots of benefits to TikTok, and it's just like all the other social medias. Watch.
It's also a place where 5 million small businesses are selling their products and services and making a living. Making a living at a time where our economy is struggling in so many ways. So we're talking about free speech for everyday Americans. We're talking about small business owners who use TikTok to grow their business. Mm. And my question is, and we're going to pivot to the other part of the conversation, why the hysteria and the panic and the targeting of TikTok? As we know,
are you dumb?
Republicans in particular
have
been sounding the alarm, creating a red scare around China. Mm. They've been doing it in a variety of ways when it comes to economic competition, when it comes to semiconductor manufacturing, and when it comes to technology. in terms of TikTok's behavior and its risk to national security. It poses about the same threat that companies like Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Twitter pose. So let's not marginalize and target TikTok.
Marginalize and target TikTok. That's what we're doing here. We're supposed to feel bad for that giant mega company TikTok. Oh, that poor TikTok might be marginalized by us pointing out that the Chinese Communist Party is not like a good thing, I guess. I'm convinced that if I ever ran for office, which I don't want to, like if people that dumb can make it
in.
I mean, that would be easy, smooth sailing for anyone who's like just mildly average intelligence, I feel like. So I want to get your thoughts, guys, but I want to play a couple other clips for you of the actual hearing. So the CEO of TikTok he said, let me state unequivocally, ByteDance is not an agent of China or any other country. He tried to be very clear there, but then he was asked if he had any preparation, if he had any help in preparing for the meeting from CCP, China, Chinese counterparts, and his answer was very telling. Watch.
Can you guarantee that no one at ByteDance had a role in preparing you for today's hearing?
Like I said, Congressman, this is a high-profile hearing. A lot of people around the world were sending me wishes and unsolicited advice, but I prepared for this hearing with my team here in D.C.
Huh. Fascinating.
So here's something I can absolutely guarantee you. There's not a single company in China that rises to the top that does not have CCP ties. Mm-hmm. Cintosteel is the largest steel company in the world. It is basically owned by the CCP. It's family members, they place them there, they dictate, they sit in the bylaws, they write the bylaws of the company, they draw the battle lines for these companies. That's point number one. Did that man just compare TikTok's threat to Twitter's threat? You mean Elon Musk's threat to the nation? That's laughable. That man's bought by China, like the president is bought by China. That whole party, now we're just going to be pro-China. Now we're just pro-China, never mind all the disastrous things happening. The reason they should know what a threat TikTok poses is because they know the threat that Facebook poses, but that's right, they control Facebook.
Right.
It's okay if they spy on us.
Right.
It's okay if they spy on the American person and your data and what you do and where you go and listening to your conversations, right? So no, but they're also in bed with China. It's not okay if Putin does it, but it's okay if Xi Jinping or someone like that does it because that's their buddy. It's sick. You talk about the nepotism in pharma. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the nepotism in outsourcing American jobs in China and with our government.
Yeah, I did find it fascinating, Rob, when Bowman made that remark. Like, it's just like, you know, Facebook or Instagram and YouTube and all these. And I'm like, I agree that the level of corruption is very high. It just happens to be from America rather than China. Like, okay, you want to get rid of all of them? All right, let's talk. Do it.
I mean, the only thing that has surprised me about the TikTok thing is that Hunter Biden wasn't on the board, right? You would expect that we'll find out that Hunter Biden's on the board of TikTok at some point. But the first thing I was thinking of is, like, I want to know, I don't know, what nonprofit this guy used to work for before he became a U.S. House of Representatives. I'm happy that the squad allows men on now, so that I didn't know that they had done that, so I'm happy with that.
What is a man?
Is he a man?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm not a biologist. And then the other, you know, the third thing is, I kind of want to, you know, I hate that you have to disclose campaign finance records, but it'd be fun to look and, like, see who are the people donating to him and do they work for, like, Chinese lobbying groups and things like that? Because that wasn't, you know, a defense of TikTok. That was a full-throated standing up for a genocidal dictatorship that kills people because of their ethnicity and enslaves them. I mean, that's what that was. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm just doing a red scare and I'm a racist.
You could have swapped him with the commissioner of the NBA for a minute there.
Yeah.
They're in love with China. That was an endorsement.
They're in love with Chinese money is what they're in love with. They're not in love with China. They're in love with Chinese money.
Well, They're in love with any money.
Right.
Regardless of who it comes from. Right. And not just them. It's the NBA. Who else? Yeah. Disney.
I mean, you mentioned Elon. Elon's got some problems with that, too, because of Tesla in China. So, you know, it's people want money, and it's a huge market, and they're Apple, giving the money.
Yeah. Apple, all these guys dance. Yeah.
So I want to play one more clip here during the hearing. The TikTok executive promoted Project Texas. This is TikTok's plan to address U.S. security and privacy concerns. And he said that employees of this new, it's like China's TikTok equivalent, it's called Douyin, I believe, can currently access United States user data in China. But don't worry, because they're going to change that with this Project Texas. Watch.
Do any ByteDance employees in China, including engineers, currently have access to U.S. user data?
Today, all U.S. user data is stored by default in the Oracle Cloud infrastructure, and access to that is controlled by American personnel.
Do any ByteDance employees in China, including engineers, currently have access to U.S. data?
Yes. Congressman, I would appreciate this. This is a complex topic. Today, all data is stored by default.
No, it's not that complex. Yes or no, do they have access to user data?
After Project Texas is done, the answer is no. Today, there is still some data that we need to delete.
Yes, but we've heard already from the right.
So it's always, I love these hearings because you know when the answer is not just yes or no, that they're trying to formulate some sort of a cover-up or lie. Because it would be very simple to just be like, no, nope. No, knows the answer. Next question. And the moment that they start with these like very long-winded answers, you're like, you're lying.
There are firewalls in place, and an engineer may or may not have access to the data, and then it may happen on a Tuesday, but not a Wednesday, so no.
Right. Because you know if you've ever been in any sort of like legal situation that when you're telling the truth, your lawyer is always like, only answer the question that they asked. Don't give them any more.
Anything.
Right? Oh, yeah. Only answer the question that they asked. So when these people cannot just answer the question that they asked, they are spinning their wheels. You can see the hamster wheel spinning. They're like, okay, so what am I going to say here that kind of doesn't give away the answer, but I don't actually admit to it?
Or who do I throw under the bus?
Right.
And how do I clean that up when I get back home and when I answer to the CCP? China has two platforms. I just want people to understand how big and controlling the Chinese government is. Facebook is a large platform, okay? It is 10% the size of a platform called QQ and RenRen. They dwarf Facebook. Mm-hmm. They scour the planet through social media to gain access to data. They strip it from every African nation, the European Union. They are like cyborgs. Like, you know, multi-universe cyborgs that go to a planet and suck its resources out. They do that with data. Absolutely, they have access to our data. Yes, you think, I mean, we get crazy when a balloon flies over an American city, but they've got our 9-year-old children talking to them.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Rob, last word.
Yeah, it's the Chinese Communist Party is the biggest threat that the world faces. It absolutely is. And I'm just stuck on this. Congressman saying it isn't, and you know, everybody being upset because Putin and Ukraine are, as Ron DeSantis said, in a territorial dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just another smokescreen to not have to pay attention to
this. Yeah, totally agree. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more.
And you cannot as
one of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
talk about January 6th for a second here, because we have found out now through all of these court filings that are coming out for some of these cases that are still playing out in the court system. But those are the lucky ones, because we still have some defendants who have had no progress on their cases and they're still just rotting away in D.C. prisons there. But at least one Proud Boys member on trial over all of this January 6th storming of the Capitol had a previously concealed FBI informant that was set to appear as a witness in their case. So this is Zachary Rell, Joseph Biggs, Ethan Nordine, and Dominic Pizzola. They're all on federal trial after being accused in a June 2022 indictment of conspiring to oppose the lawful transfer of presidential power by force. Now, this says that the government revealed that a witness was scheduled to appear in the defense case had been, this was today, had been an FBI confidential human source from April 2021 to at least January 2023, and the source had been in electronic contact with one or more of the defense's counsel and at least one defendant over that period, participated in prayer meetings with one or more defendant family members, and talked with one of the defendant's family members about replacing one of the defense counsel. All of the defendants subsequently started preparing a motion to dismiss their indictment or hold an evidentiary hearing. The filing demanded the release of all FBI interview reports and Justice Department memos about recording and reporting on the defense team. These court filings up until this point suggest that the FBI had up to 8 informants within the Proud Boys in the months leading up to what happened on January 6th. This is enraging. This is enraging. What possible reason would they need FBI informants still talking to these people, tampering with a case and trying to replace defense counsels? I mean, when I tell you guys the FBI is weaponized against you if you've ever worn a red hat in your life or believe in less government and lower taxes, like, you're kidding yourself if you don't think that that's true.
I'm just going to be a broken record for a second. On Tuesday, I said the FBI is finally stepping into it, the destiny it was designed for, to be weaponized against the American people. Yep. It's been that from day one.
Yep.
Do you remember President Trump saying, they're charging me with collusion. Yep. Projection. Mm-hmm. There's collusion. Their informants have been in there prior to January 6th. I would not even flinch if it comes out that they initiated a lot of the events.
Who is Ray Epps? Why is he not? Why is he not one of these defendants?
Why is he exactly?
He's the one who instigated everything. We have it on tape.
But when you start moving defense counsel, when you start tampering with witnesses, when you start leading mm-hmm. witnesses, mm-hmm. right? Come on, you're covering up.
The acronym should be changed to the FBE, the Federal Bureau of Entrapment.
No kidding.
And it's been that way since it's. Since it started, right? The FBI has been involved in things. I'm from Boston originally. The FBI owned and ran Whitey Bulger.
Yes.
To go against the Italian mob back in the 80s and the 90s. Their guys, John Connolly, have since gone to jail. During post 9/11 to now, a lot of the terrorists that they found were people that learned how to make homemade bombs and things like that by the FBI informants. And they entrapped him, so that they've changed and started going after people that they don't like is 100% right. And, you know, what's absolutely funny is this, you know, Trump and the campaign finance stuff. Hillary Clinton had to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines for getting Fusion GPS mm-hmm. to contract with a British spy to make up a dossier that was then handed to the FBI to look into, to say that there was, again, the collusion, which none of it's proven to be true.
Yes.
But that was, I mean, you talk about, they talk about Donald Trump not being able to say that the election was real and that it was stolen and things like that. In 2016, they tried to steal the election from Donald Trump, weaponizing the FBI. They just didn't do it well enough and didn't think they had to because they never thought he would win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so on the subject of campaign finance, and you know, we've been trying to keep everyone abreast of what's going on with the possible Trump indictment. No word yet again. Another day goes by, and we don't know what's going on. We don't know why the grand jury is not meeting for the rest of the week to discuss the case. And I wanna show one newly released letter that I would say, pokes a little bit of a hole in what Alvin Bragg, the DA, is purporting, because this is back from 2018. This is a letter that shows that Michael Cohen, okay, this is the guy. This is supposed to be like the smoking gun witness who says that, yes, this is why we did it. The Trump campaign paid me to do this. And so Michael Cohen used his own personal funds to pay $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, and that the Trump organization nor campaign was party to the transaction, nor did they reimburse Michael Cohen for the payment directly or indirectly. That's a pretty big deal, because you're saying he did it on his own personal, listen, if you're my friend, I got to make this clear. If you're my friend, I'm not paying someone $130,000 to not tell people that you slept with them. I'm not doing that. I don't have any friends that I like good enough to pay that amount of money and not get reimbursed. But for whatever reason, Michael Cohen said in 2018 that he did not get reimbursed by Donald Trump. So you don't have, this is a convicted liar, a proven liar. And that's the guy that your case is going to hinge on. You got to wonder if Alvin Bragg is like, well, crap.
Well, I probably.
The walls are closing in on me.
Probably.
What do I do?
And I think it's unraveling. And that's why the hearing is not going. And I'll say again, I do not think he gets arrested. I don't think he does either.
Not now.
You don't see the day.
They're losing momentum. Yes. Every day that they just stop and don't tell anyone what's going on,
it's
they lose momentum.
Right? It's imploding.
Yeah.
Well, there's two things. One, I can't believe she only got paid $130,000 from a billionaire's friend, right? That's like ridiculous. Like she must have been hard up for money or something, because that's not a lot of money.
Right.
And two, I don't know if they were, I think that they probably heard that it was getting close to the end of the grand jury. And I think, you joke about Trump playing 4D chess all the time. I think Trump said he was getting arrested on Tuesday to make a big stink out of the whole thing, to absolutely 100% make sure that it doesn't happen, because he is a smart person that knows how to play the game. Mm-hmm. And this was him playing the game to a very high level.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And we are going to talk about the teachers in Los Angeles have gone on strike. We'll talk more about that after the break.
Yay.
Yeah, I know. Like, oh no.
So bad.
California students are, oh man, gosh darn it, they are unable to go to school today in Los Angeles as Los Angeles teachers and staff walk out on strike. So according to their report, you guys are going to be shocked to hear that the union wants more money. They're demanding a 30% wage increase plus a $2 per hour additional raise for the lowest paid workers in order to stop the strike. And on top of that, they want a 20% raise over the next 2 years. Look, the United Teachers Los Angeles Union, they say they're not directly involved in the strike, but they have said its members will not cross the picket lines. Of course, you got Adam Schiff showing up and helping, I don't know, cause drama. And it's so cute that they think that they're doing something, because I would consider this the best part of the school year for these Los Angeles children, who at least for several days will not continue to be indoctrinated by all of these crazy teachers and the teachers union. Like, I'm like, this sounds great. If you happen to have a child in Los Angeles schools and I understand it's hard. Everyone can't. I know California has crazy homeschool rules there. And you're like, I hate my kid being in public school, but I can't afford private. You're like, this is great.
Hey, I say purge the system. Where's our friend Eric July? Abolish the whole thing, you know? No, this is a really healthy break for the children to actually now go focus on some math.
Oh, but no, but what if they don't, learn all of the different genders and learn if they're non-binary or not? Yaku, what do they do if they don't learn that?
It shows you how fake they are, because if they really actually cared, they would take every minute, they wouldn't strike, to say we can't leave them alone for a minute, because they're all for themselves. This is like it's a me movement, mm-hmm. These folks. No, what a great day for California school children. Breathe. Mm-hmm. Breathe for a second. Be normal, you know?
Congratulations. You're not being indoctrinated for...
May they strike for 5 weeks. Teach yourselves, because you'll get a better education.
You really will. And, I'm like, I don't want... To Yaku's point, I don't want a teacher who's going to be more concerned with getting a raise for what?
For the children. It's for the children.
Oh, does that money go back
everything
into the children's
about education is for really? The children. Don't you know it's for the children? But it's kind of interesting. It's not the, it's not the children's union. It's
right.
the teachers union.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's all
children
about
don't have a union.
More pay. Right. It's called the teachers union for a reason, mm-hmm. because it's about the teachers getting more money. You know, they say that we don't spend enough on education. We spend more on education than any other country in the world per pupil. It's that we're not getting the quality of education, and it's not just that, and that's why it's great that here in Texas, there's a bill that's about to be passed for vouchers that you can take the money and send your kid to any school that you want to, and the Supreme Court has said that that includes religious schools because mm-hmm. it's discriminatory not to. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court put away all of those constitutional amendments in many states that stop voucher money from doing that. So I think that you're seeing the movement. It happened up in Iowa. You're going to see it here. So I think that it's great. But again, it's for the children.
I know that you're joking, but it still makes me like viscerally react every time you say it, because it's just so maddening to see these people who.
It's 'cause what they say.
I know, but it's like you guys shut down for like 2 years after you knew that children were not prone to developing any sort of negative long-term consequences right. to COVID. You kept it shut down. You pushed to get more money then. Now you want more money on top of all of the other demands that you just gave. What can you show? Like, for what? I mean
exactly.
that as an honest,
show
for
me
what?
The
show me the results.
Well, there
show
are
me,
no
I'm
results.
So, this is why.
No. You've got students all across the country,
the
Baltimore,
results.
All these places.
You saw what New York
none of them
did,
are
right?
proficient in reading.
Our literacy level is dismal on a global scale. It's atrocious how low our literacy level
because
is.
Because of the past 3 years, New York State has just lowered its standards to
Shut
allow
up.
People to go from this grade to that grade.
Shut up.
Yeah, they're doing that. They're lowering their standards. It's the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Right.
They don't really care about kids. It's called teachers unions for a reason.
No, they don't. And yet, as you pointed out, we are spending more per pupil yeah. than any other country. Perhaps that's the perhaps we should just abolish the Department of Education.
Yes.
Perhaps that's the problem.
Yes.
Maybe the problem is that you're throwing too much money at these teachers.
Yeah, Tennessee's looking to do that.
Yes,
I don't know if you
are.
Saw that today. Tennessee is looking to give back every federal dollar to take back education to themselves, because if you don't take federal dollars, the federal government yeah. can't control
Marsha
what
Blackburn
right.
is a champion on this, Senator yeah. Marsha Blackburn. I'll say this. I kept hearing when I just moved to the U.S., before I became a citizen even, I kept hearing tenure. I was like, guys, what are you talking about?
Mm.
Like, no, there
yep.
comes a time
yep.
when you can just completely suck at your job mm-hmm. and you're not removable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not only removable.
Teaching the children? Mm-hmm. It's not for the children. I mean, this is disgusting. Abolish the Department of Education. When Betsy DeVos ran that department under President Trump, I expected for us to take a hatchet
yeah.
to the organization, and we didn't. We didn't move the needle. Sorry, Betsy, but you did not. Okay, we need to go to town on the Department of Education, because they can sit. You know, there's buildings in New York where they can sit and not teach.
I was
about to bring PlayStation.
Because they're bad teachers. They've been told they
Absolutely.
Can't get in, but they can't fire them.
But they can't
but
fire
they have
them.
To show up. So they show them up, they put them basically in padded rooms and allow them to have fun all day long, and they get a paycheck because they can't get rid of them because they have tenure.
So to sum that
it's
all
the
up.
The teachers union.
Get your kids the hell out of public schools.
That's it.
We'll be right back. Joe Biden, while on stage, I believe this was yesterday, was, you know, we got a lot of gaffes from Joe Biden, and I wish that we could get to all of them, but I do want to get to this one. He was talking about Jill putting messages on his mirror while he's shaving, which I have questions on, but there was one that he talked about that she put on about a year ago, and it was a little weird. Watch.
We were talking inside. Jill has, and I think I told Nancy this before, Jill has put messages on my mirror while I'm shaving, so I make sure I see them.
Is that funny?
And one that was put in about a year ago was, stop trying to make me love you.
What?
Well, that's because she's in love with the second gentleman, as we saw a few weeks ago, right?
Stop trying to make me love you.
Are we living in episodes of South Park? What is in The Simpsons? Even if, let's say that's true, and I believe it is, The guy, you'd say it to the world?
Yeah.
You would go say this to the world? Like, hey, by the way, my wife...
Not trying to make me love you. I don't. You can't force me to love you. I don't like you. That's why I am putting you on display for the world to see you deteriorate, because I don't like you.
Or was that his help me cry to the world going, help me, get me out of the White House.
You know what else she puts on his mirror? You are Joe Biden. You are the president of the United States. Also, we'll change your poopy diaper after you eat your pudding. Good night.
Breathe.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.